Go to Colossians chapter 4, please. Paul is wrapping up this letter to the church at Colossae, and he has some greetings that he wants to give and some things that he wants to say about some people who are very important to him. And he starts off with this man, Tychicus. So if you'll follow along as I read chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and 9. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Tychicus. Paul describes him as follows. He is a beloved brother. He is a faithful minister. And he is a fellow servant. In relation to other Christians, Tychicus was a brother. A beloved brother. In relation to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Tychicus was a faithful minister or servant. And in relation to the Apostle Paul, he was a fellow bond slave or fellow servant, as the text says. A beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. In that one short verse, is found some descriptions of this godly man that are worth considering. We need to see what all is involved in being a beloved brother. We need to understand the requirement that is placed upon us as God's people to be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can take heart from the level of dedication and consecration that was found in this man's life. He was a fellow servant, a fellow bond slave of the Apostle Paul. Now, beloved brother, there is a brotherhood among Christians. As a matter of fact, the three great religions of the world, that would be Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, with Christianity probably coming in the middle chronologically, Judaism going back thousands of years, Christianity after the turn of the first century, or at the beginning of the first century, and Islam in the 7th century. So these three great religions are all followers or claim to be of one God. And these monotheistic religions are characterized by a sense of kinship, a kindred spirit that is probably most obvious to us in Islam. Much has been made recently through all of the things that are going on in Egypt of the Muslim Brotherhood. This is an organization that was started in 1928 in Egypt, in Cairo, and it has spread worldwide, and there is a sense of brotherhood among followers of the Muslim faith. Don't be misled by the politically correct thinking of the day concerning Islam, that it is somehow there are people who are moderate Muslims. In every case where Islam is the dominant religion, there follows real repression. Sharia law There is a writer who writes for National Review by the name of Andrew McCarthy. If you ever get an opportunity to visit that website, you need to read some of his essays that he has written. He's really quite scholarly when it comes to the subject of Islam. A brotherhood. There is a brotherhood among Christians, and sad to say, we don't take it as seriously as we ought to. We look upon each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't choose your family. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. A person who is a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, has a kindred spirit with you, and there is a brotherhood that is suggestive in the language that we use. A beloved brother. This is the description of this man, Tychicus. Being a brother in Christ can create issues. Most recently, last month in January, the new governor of the state of Alabama, Robert Bentley, brought his inaugural address, and then he was invited to speak at the church in Montgomery that was pastored by Martin Luther King Jr., and met with the congregation there in that church. And he made some remarks that were, of course, publicized because he was the newly elected governor of the state of Alabama. He raised concern among the state's non-Christians by declaring that people who had not accepted Jesus Christ were not his brothers and sisters. And of course, this really got people stirred up. I mean, there were already people calling for his impeachment. He was speaking at Montgomery's Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church. Martin Luther King preached there. Here's what he said. I want you to understand, listen to it carefully. If you're a Christian and you're saved, it makes you and me brother and sister. Now, I will have to say that if we don't have the same daddy, we are not brothers and sisters, he added, according to the paper. So anybody here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, you're not my brother and you're not my sister. And then the press left with that and didn't include what he said after that. He said, I want to be your brother. He was speaking language that is familiar to us as believers. And the man wasn't very politically correct, but I think he was expressing some gospel truth in a gospel setting. He was standing in the pulpit of a church. One reporter commented on this by saying the following: I can understand that some people may not really get what Bentley is saying. I remember walking up to an African-American member of my church in Pittsburgh one Sunday morning and saying, hey, brother, how you been? And there was a puzzled silence. And this man looked at him and said, what did you say? And so he said, hey, brother, how have you been? Well, the continued puzzled look clicked with the reporter. And he said, I'm talking about a brother in the faith. He said, I'm not trying some white guy being urban thing, end of quote. At that point, the man laughed and he says, oh, sorry, I'm doing great. How have you been? Just using language that we use here. I mean, I asked Brother Jones to pray for the offering. There's a kinship. There's a bond there that is, I think, sadly neglected among Christendom today. Now, what do we know about this man, Tychicus? He's mentioned five times in the New Testament. We learn where he hails from in the very first mention in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. And that in that passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul was accompanied by a man by the name of Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus. and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Tychicus and Trophimus. Tychicus hails from Asia, most likely from Ephesus. He was going back to deliver a letter from the Apostle Paul to his home church. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21, we have a similar expression that we read in Colossians 4:7, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. And then our passage is the third place he is mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, I shall send Artemis unto thee, to the church at in Crete, or Tychicus. And then he says, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. And then in the very last letter that he wrote, he says, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, most likely as a replacement for Timothy, who was there, so Timothy could come and join him. He's a beloved brother, the text says. Actually, the phrase begins with an article. The beloved brother. He is so described in the parallel passage in Ephesians. And if you'll just keep your place here in Colossians chapter 4 and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to show you some language here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Apostle Paul is discussing the liberality of the Macedonian churches. They were taking up an offering for the poor saints, followers of the Lord Jesus, in Jerusalem. And so they're on their way. And he says in verse 18, and we have sent with him, that's with Titus, we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them, Titus, and with the brother, our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, and so on. So here are two unnamed brothers in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There are many Bible scholars who will make the argument that Paul is talking about the brother here as Tychicus, and possibly Tychicus and his friend Trophimus. Later on we learn of him that he was left at Miletus sick, Trophimus was, and So there's much that connects these two together, Tychicus and Trophimus. And the argument that is made by more than one good, solid, conservative Bible scholar is that these two people were Tychicus and Trophimus, a beloved brother, the brother. I'm afraid that this is true, folks. We don't make enough of our brotherhood in Christ. Think of it. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're members of the same family. You understand that there are three large groups, well, two large and one very small, comparatively, groups of people in the world. There are Jews and Gentiles and the Church of God. We read about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. Give none offense, Paul said, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. The Jewish New Testament commentary asks the question on this passage of Scripture, is this a threefold division of humanity? Non-Messianic Jews are mentioned, pagan Gentiles, literally Greeks, and God's Messianic community, that's the church of God, consisting of Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles, that is, followers of the Messiah. The Church of God, comprised of brothers and sisters, There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, Paul writes, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, those Jews and those Greeks who make up the body of Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into that one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus, there is a oneness about the body of Christ, because it is made up of members of the same family, brothers and sisters in Christ. There was much to do about the liberal notion back in the last century about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Now, we don't fall into that trap about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. We recognize that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in kind of an exclusive group. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there are people who don't know Christ as Savior who are not our brothers and sisters. Governor Bentley made the mistake of raising that in a message at this church in Montgomery and has been catching it ever since. In Christ Jesus, Paul said, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation, the church of God. Folks, we're family. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 said, He, the Lord Jesus, is our peace, who has made both, that is Jew and Gentile, one. Hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, the church of Jesus Christ. So when you talk to a brother or a sister, use some Bible language if it suits you. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. I was down in Greenville this last Monday, and I went by a bookstore to get a book, and they were doing some construction, and so there wasn't any way to get in the building except to go through a basement door, and somebody was volunteering to open the door for people as they came in. And it turns out that I know her. She's a faculty member over at Bob Jones. At one time in her life, she was a Catholic sister. So I said, hi, sister. You know, it's kind of got a double whammy there. You know, she's a really a sister. Sweet woman, very intelligent. I asked her, what are you reading? She said, I'm reading some selected essays of G.K. Chesterton. I said, okay. That's good, you know. It's better than Mad Magazine, right? Really a smart woman, a sister in Christ. Folks, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There is neither barbarian. There is neither Scythian, bond nor free. Christ is all and in all. We are family. Tychicus was a beloved brother. Secondly, he was a faithful minister. The text says he's a beloved brother and a faithful minister. This phrase, a faithful minister, is found three times in our New Testament. Taken together, it seems to indicate that the service being rendered is service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Epaphras in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7 is described as a faithful minister of Christ. Tychicus is described in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 21 and 22 and here in our passage as a faithful minister in the Lord. So what we're talking about here is someone who is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, that ought to be true of all of us. Now, the word that is used, diakonos, we get our English word deacon from that, is suggestive, some say, of a formal recognition of Tychicus as a deacon. Well, the text does not say that. All the text says is that he is a faithful servant. And that's what the word deacon means. A servant is an attendant. A servant is a waiter at a table. A servant who is someone who is engaged in menial duties. A servant is someone who is available to run errands. What this wrapped up in this word deacon. You might assume that the diaconate is in view. Not necessarily. Many people think that the first deacons were the seven that are mentioned in the book of Acts in chapter 6. Many of the church fathers looked upon them as the first deacons. But that's not what the text says there either. The seven were appointed to do what? To serve tables, to be a deacon, to be a waiter at the table, to resolve the issue between the Jews and the Greeks over the distribution of what little they had. They were to do that in order to permit the 12 to continue to serve God steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. They're not called deacons in the passage. The qualifications required are not the same as those listed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Furthermore, Stephen, one of the seven, appears in Acts primarily as a preacher of the gospel. And Philip was an evangelist who had a circuit that he went on preaching the word of God. They may be called the first deacons only in the sense that they were the earliest recorded helpers of the 12, of the apostles. They served in that capacity to serve tables, if you will. Paul recognizes women and calls them deaconesses. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church, a deaconess of the church, that is at Cenchrea, Romans 16 and verse 1. Phoebe, an honored helper in the church, closely associated with the church in Corinth. But she was not a, quote, deacon, end quote. She was a servant of the church. She was willing to run an errand. She was willing to wait on a table. She was willing to do some menial task, perhaps unnoticed, but not by the Apostle Paul, who commended her. The adjective that is used to describe this service is the word faithful. And that ought to just speak volumes to us. Faithfulness in our service. It's one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Faithfulness, loyalty, trustworthiness. Paul alludes to it in 1 Corinthians 4. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. To one of the churches in Revelation chapter 2, John says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The devil shall cast you into prison that you may be tried. You may have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithfulness. That ought to be characteristic of every one of us. If we just make up our mind tonight that we are going to be faithful to whatever service God has called us to do. Those in government with authority over us are called servants of God in Romans chapter 13. The Lord Jesus uses the verb and the noun in John chapter 12 and verse 26. If any man serve me, there's the verb, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. There's the noun. If any man serve me, again the verb, him will my Father honor. We're talking about faithful service to God, and I think that includes every one of us. We have a service that we can render to God right here within the confines of this local assembly. Faithfulness. Does that describe you, my friend? Are you determined in your heart you're going to be faithful to God? You're going to serve God faithfully all the days of your life? I tried to find a good illustration of faithfulness, and I think I hit upon one. We all remember September 11th, 2001, when the Islamists from Saudi Arabia piloted airplanes into the World Trade Center. It was the worst terrorist attack ever to hit the United States, greater than the devastation wrought at Pearl Harbor. Faithfulness illustrated. There was a man by the name of Omar Eduardo Rivera, who unfortunately found himself on the 71st floor of one of the Twin Towers that was struck by an airplane 25 floors ahead above him. He was a computer programmer, and he happened to be blind. He had his guide dog with him, a 4-year-old golden retriever. He could hear all the people rushing to the elevator to get down 70 floors, and it was a stampede, and he was blind. He knew he would never make it. So what he did is he unleashed his leash from his golden retriever, and he said to his dog, "Go on, go." And the dog left, and a few minutes later, he's sitting here listening to all the turmoil that's going on, and he feels a little nudge at his knee, and his dog is back. Rivera said, "I thought I was lost forever. The noise and the heat were terrifying, but I had to give my dog, whose name was Dorado, the chance of escape. So I unclipped his lead, ruffled his head, gave him a nudge, and ordered him to go. I hoped he would be able to quickly run down the stairs without me and get to safety. I thought he'd be so scared he'd run. Everything was in chaos. Glass was shattering around my head. People were rushing past down the stairs. At that point, Dorado was swept away by the rush of people fleeing down the stairs. Mr. Rivera found himself on his own for several minutes amid the pandemonium. But then the unexpected occurred in the form of a familiar fuzzy nudge, knee high. Mr. Rivera explains, he returned to my side a few minutes later and guided me down 70 flights and out into the street. It was amazing. I then knew for certain he loved me just as much as I loved him. He was prepared to die in the hope that he might save my life." End of quote. Now, folks, that's an illustration of faithfulness. Now, it seems to me, as rational thinking human beings who have love for our Master, we can emulate something as mundane as a golden retriever, a dog. We can be faithful to God. God grant that it may be so. And then finally, he's described as a fellow servant. This description of Tychicus fits right in with our theme for 2011, Slaves of God. "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Romans 6 and verse 22. There are 7 words in our New Testament that describe what it means to be a servant, our English word servant. And the most common one that is used in the New Testament is the Greek word doulos. And that's the word that Paul uses here in its compound form, sundoulos, fellow servant. to be a slave. In the strictest sense of this word, is to be born that way. And we were born as slaves to sin, with a sin nature. All of us described by this word slave before our conversion. To be a slave is to be bound to one's master. To be a slave is to be in a permanent relationship. To be a slave is to disregard one's own interests. To be a slave is to have one's will swallowed up in the will of his master. Earlier this evening, you should have received a handout, a brief devotional brought by Alexander McLaren. You need not read it now or turn to it, but just take it home and read it. I think you'll find it a real blessing and really instructive about this whole notion behind what I want to communicate concerning our theme for this year of being slaves to God. This compound word, sundulas, found 10 times in the New Testament. 5 of them are in a parable in Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unjust servant. 2 times the phrase refers to an angelic being in Revelation 19 and 22. Once it shows up in Revelation 6 describing the souls that were slain for the word of God. And the last 2 times that it's found, it's talking about, guess who? Tychicus and Epaphras. They're described in Colossians 1:7 and 4:7 as fellow servants of the Apostle Paul. Remember, slaves to God. That's how we ought to think of ourselves. A slave is a person who's the property of someone else. He or she has no rights and must show complete obedience and loyalty to the Master, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses this language of a slave in 1 Corinthians 7. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant, a slave, a bond slave? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a slave, a bond slave, a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Bond slaves. Tychicus had something about his character that made him willing to go anywhere, do anything, be of any service that he could be for the love of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a servant, a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, and he looked upon himself as a bond slave. Is that how you think of yourself? Well, if you get into this mindset, it'll grow on you. You'll begin to consider yourself as the Lord's free man, a bond slave, an old word for a manumitted slave. Christ is now the owner of the Christian. The Apostle Paul rejoices to call himself God's doulos, God's bondslave, and he speaks of just 2 people, Epaphras and Tychicus, as fellow servants. Lord, I thank you for this description that we have of Tychicus here in the New Testament. Lord, what a testimony he had to be called a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant of Christ. Thank you for this description that we have. And I pray, Lord, if it would please you, that you would just cause us to emulate in any way possible this man Tychicus and to take the character traits that he has and just make them our own. Help us to think of ourselves as part of a great family of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to determine by God's grace to be faithful, faithful servants of the Savior. And the Lord, help us to understand that as the Lord's free man, We are simply bond slaves in the service of our Master. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.